Good morning. Grace and peace to you as we gather together today in the name of the living Christ to worship God with one another. Surely God is in this virtual place with us and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us begin with prayer. Radiant Lord, you shine with purity, power, and truth. Your mercy reflects your compassion, your care, and your love. Transform us into your image as we seek to follow you. Use us to make your presence known throughout the world. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship space here at Parma Christian Church. You are welcome to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. for our Facebook Live worship service. For any visitors who are joining with us today, I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our IT and videographer. And our elder today is Marianne Woodward. There are two items that I want to remind you of this morning as we worship together. The first is because we believe it is important to participate in weekly communion, we will have time for communion with one another during our service. I invite you to use whatever you may have available to you in your home. Your table is an extension of Christ's table, and all are invited to participate using whatever you may have for bread and the cup. Second is, I would like to remind you of offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. And you may use our online giving tool, which is found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org. Or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. And of course, I wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day today. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 9. Our scripture lesson is commonly referred to as the Transfiguration story. Jesus and his three of his disciples spend some time on a holy mountain with one another, and while they are there, they have an encounter with Elijah and Moses. Hear now this story from God's holy word. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and brought them to the top of a very high mountain where they were alone. He was transformed in front of them, and his clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than if they had been bleached white. Elijah and Moses appeared and were talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't know how to respond, for the three of them were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, some moments in life are best described as a spiritual mystery. These are the moments that are best to be shared simply for their beauty, their holiness, their otherworldliness. These are moments that we long for but are most often left unexplained. Our scripture lesson this morning is exactly one of these moments. The story appears in the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And as it is with many stories from the Bible, there's not a lot of details. We really don't know a whole lot about what happened on that mountain. But what we can tell from the little bit we are given in the Gospel of Mark is that Jesus, Peter, James, and John had stepped away from the crowds. They went up onto this mountain probably to find rest and to spend time in prayer. Finding time to pray and to be alone with God was a healthy habit that Jesus practiced. He also shared that habit with his disciples. But there was something special about this particular time when Jesus and his three disciples went on their retreat. This time they encountered the holy in a very unexpected way. The essence of this scripture is that God, once again, reveals to the disciples who Jesus is. God speaks through this holy moment that Jesus is God's Son, the one whom God loves. The disciples see Jesus on this mountain with Elijah and Moses, two of the most important figures in the Hebrew Bible. Of course, this overwhelming, transcendent moment leaves the disciples stumbling for words. And our beloved Peter. Peter, he just stumbles his way into saying that they should build a monument or a shrine or something there on that mountain to Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. Something to mark this holy moment. I mean, they've just experienced the most holy of moments that they've probably experienced in their lives. And they're emotionally overwhelmed. And as Peter does, he just simply does not know how to respond. Have you ever experienced a moment like that? A moment when you could feel the presence of God so close around you that you're just simply overwhelmed with emotions? Have you ever visited a place like that holy mountain where the space between you and God is so close you can almost feel it? In the Celtic Christian tradition, the places where those moments happen are called thin places. And in her book, An Altar in the World, Barbara Brown Taylor explains what those thin places are. She said, "A couple of summers ago, my husband Ed and I went to Ireland. We both have roots there. It is that Celtic sense of place that is so appealing, of holy trees, holy wells, holy mountains. Thin places, as the Irish call them. Places where the veil between this world and the next is so sheer that it's easy to simply step through. And there's so many of those thin places in Ireland. You can be walking down an ordinary country lane and all of a sudden see a footpath leading off to the left. And you follow it for a couple of hundred feet and you come to a little mossy hole full of crystal clear water. It would be easy to mistake it for an ordinary little watering hole if it were not for the tidy bank of stones around it, set there hundreds of years ago by the people who recognized a thin place, right there in the middle of a sheep pasture. If you could stop all the racket in your own mind and body, you can sometimes feel it for yourself, a freshness that drenches you as thoroughly as a shower. How it works is a complete mystery, but there is no defying the effect. Simply to stand near is to experience living water." Have you ever experienced this in any way? The scripture from today is reminding us that we are all called to be aware of God's presence in our everyday lives. God's presence is all around us in these thin places that surround us. We simply have to stop long enough to open our hearts and allow ourselves to feel it, to see it, to experience it. It's not as easy as it sounds, though, is it? These thinly veiled spaces where the holy and the ordinary meet can often be elusive. That is why we must practice meditation, prayer, and simply breathing in the presence of God. We know that God is around us. We know that God is around us in all times and all places. Yet the world, our lives, our work, our daily distractions are constantly pulling us away from God's presence among us. That is why we need stories like the Transfiguration, because it startles us. It jars us out of our complacency and shows us that God, that Jesus, is more than just another great teacher. He is the Son of God. The disciples are there to remind us that our reactions are normal. It is okay to experience these divine moments of mystery and wonder and to emerge from that moment saying, "What are we going to do with it?" It's okay for us to be like Peter and mumble some confused statement about wanting to build a monument to remember this moment by. It's okay for us to not to know how to respond. We are simply called to sit with that moment, to absorb that humbling feelings that we get from those moments, and to know that we are not alone. Now, Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk and mystic who lived in the hills of Kentucky. And he described these moments this way. Life is this simple. We are living in a world that is absolutely transparent, and God is shining through all the time. This is not just a fable or a nice story. It is true. If we abandon ourselves to God and forget ourselves, we see it sometimes, and we see it maybe frequently. God shows God's self everywhere, in everything, in people and in things and in nature and in events. It becomes obvious that God is everywhere and in everything, and we cannot be without God. The only thing is that we don't see it. You know, Merton told of his own awakening to this overwhelming presence of God. He wrote, "One afternoon in Louisville on the corner of 4th and Walnut in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people, that they were mine and I was theirs, that we cannot be alien to one another even though we were total strangers. I have this immense joy of being human, a member of the race in which God himself became incarnate. This is who we really are, and if only everybody would understand this, but it cannot be explained. There is no way of convincing people that they are walking around shining like the sun." In that moment, on that street corner in Louisville, Kentucky, Merton was changed. He became aware, not just intellectually, but experientially, connectedness to everything. His sense of being in here while the world was out there momentarily disappeared. The veil was lifted, and he found himself in one of those thin places, experiencing a new reality. The takeaway from the story of Transfiguration is to know that just as Merton was changed, the disciples were changed too. Their eyes and hearts were open to who Jesus really was, the Son of God. They experienced a moment where this world and the next were connected, and their lives were changed in a real and tangible way. We do not need to explain it. We do not need to fully understand it. The joy is in the mystery. We only need to be ready to experience those moments in this world where we too can find a thin place that reveals to us how close God is to us. in all times and all places. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, I invite you to type into the comment section the names of those that you want us to lift in prayer this week. Today, we lift up Audra, Bob, Terry, Marianne, Burday's brother Clyde, Jackie, Nicole, Alice, April, and Joe. We celebrate with those who are celebrating birthdays this week. Noelle had a birthday last week on February 7th. Elizabeth's birthday is Tuesday, and Kim's birthday is Friday. We also wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day today. And we pray for all who've been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19. And we pray for all of those who are affected by the economic impact of the pandemic. And we also pray for our country that we might see one another as valued children of God, and that we might come close to one another in peace and harmony. Let us pray. Transforming God, you have given us a vision of your glory in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear us as we bring to you our own lives to be transformed by you through your redeeming presence in the midst of this community. In a world which can so easily become dull to the wonder of your glory, we pray that we would be made salt and light, awakening all of those who come near to us with your Spirit, which dwells within us. Open us to the needs of those who pass our way. Help us to serve you by serving them in the spirit of your Son, who showed us the way to life in its fullness. Give us grace to honor his name in the life which we build together here. To those who hunger, make us bread. To those who lack shelter, make us to be a home. For those who are lost and lonely, make of us the peace and joy of Christ to them. May we bring hope and a future to those whose lives are growing dim. Lead us, Lord, in your righteousness. Make your way plain before our faces. For it is you alone, O God, who makes us to dwell in safety. As we hear your word, speak to us once again. As we receive the gifts of your table, let us experience Christ anew in celebration and praise. Send us forth in your Spirit, we pray, to rejoice in every moment of our lives. For we offer these and all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.